If you can't get in to see your doctor as soon as you'd like, Desert Oasis Healthcare has you covered with 4 conveniently located immediate care clinics. Your health and well-being is our top priority. We follow all CDC guidelines for safety. Desert Oasis Healthcare members can call our patient helpline 24/7 at 760-969-6555. Find out why we say your health, your life, our passion.
DAP Health and Revival Stores are committed to health equity in the Coachella Valley. You can support the community you want to create by helping fund comprehensive care at DAP Health, or by shopping, donating, or volunteering at one of Revival Stores' 4 Valley locations. No one is turned away from care because of their ability to pay at DAP Health. 10,000 of our neighbors receive integrated care, including primary care, mental health care, sexual wellness, and HIV specialty care at DAP Health's clinics in Palm Springs and Indio. To learn more, go to daphealth.org.
It's our golden anniversary. Eisenhower Health is celebrating 50 years with this wonderful community. From the day we opened our medical center back in 1971, we've done all we can to keep our relationship meaningful. We've created a valley-wide network of primary and specialty care clinics, recruited exceptional physicians and staff, invested in advanced technologies, and worked to meet your changing healthcare needs, from developing our renowned robotic surgery program to providing specialty care for the LGBTQ community. We expanded our cancer program to provide advanced services through our affiliation with UC San Diego Health. We became an accredited teaching hospital to attract talented new physicians to the area. And we continue to earn certifications, awards, and high rankings for quality and safety. So here's to us, to you, and to the next 50 years. Learn more at EisenhowerHealth.org.
Hello, my friend, Pat Boone here. People often ask me what I do to stay as young and active as I seem to be to them at age 87, and I do feel great. I tell them I try to eat right, I exercise, I read the Bible each morning. Plus, for the last 20 years, I've been taking an anti-aging nutritional formula called MDR Vital Factors. And for me, it's like a fountain of youth. See, Vital Factors gives me lots of energy, mental focus, and all-day stamina. It was developed by medical doctor research with nutrients that support your natural HGH, the youth hormone that declines as we age. It's vital for lean muscles, firm skin, strong bones, peak brain function, and your immune defenses that keep you healthy. All of that's vitally important today. So, if you're feeling older, why don't you try Vital Factors like I do and turn back the clock? Recapture that wonderful feeling of youthful vitality and great health, which I'd still enjoy. Call 800-325-VITAL, V-I-T-A-L, 1-800-325-VITAL, that's vital, or go to vitalfactors.com, vitalfactors.com. You'll thank me.
We're sizzling in the desert, and RVing is hotter than ever. Hi there, folks. Cher Lichtman here, Mike Thompson RV in Cathedral City. Our commitment is to your health and safety, and we promise you customer delight. Hot, hot deals await you. The number one RV dealer in California. Mike Thompson RV in Cathedral City. Your adventure starts here.
From the Joey English Show, here is this hour's mystery song.
Okay, Joey pals, tomorrow our partner in the mystery songs, Wink Martindale's, going to feature Gordon Jenkins. I'm hearing Paris. The last time I saw Paris, thank gosh for melody lines. Is he going to sing it? I'll keep talking. We'll hope he'll sing. And you can hear Wink's Vintage Visit with Gordon Jenkins tomorrow from 1 to 3 on KWXY. That's 1340 AM, 92.3 FM, and now 101.9 FM. Let's listen for Gordon. Maybe Gordon Jenkins had an orchestra. I better listen to Wink tomorrow and find out what's going on. He's going to sing, it would be coming up pretty soon. Not going to sing. Maybe he wrote this. It's beautiful. How lovely. Thank you very much, Rick. Okay, Joey Pals, I love to say, back to our regularly scheduled programming. Okay, what year, how old were you when you started producing and doing that part of the business?
21.
Okay, tell me what you did and how you started.
I started on a film with some friends out of Westport that we used to do, a matter of fact, when we were in Westport when I was 15. I could go back to 15 on producing films. We did 16-millimeter films, spoofs like Tarzan Goes Ape, or I Was a Teenage Mummy, or, you know. And we just go with our cameras and hustle. Like, I wanted to get a shot of a Rolls-Royce limousine pulling up to the UN and this James Bond character getting out. So I'm calling, using all of my dad's pull kind of thing, you know, to get a Rolls-Royce, which I do. But then they're not going to let us into the UN, you know? So I said, well, he's got to turn around, you know? So I said, all right. And while he turned around, we went and we cranked the camera and got the shot. And, you know, and in a way, that was the most fun. But then I went and did a legit picture down in Colombia, South America, a Western called Drifter, with John Cypher. And that was it.
What was your role in that? You were the producer?
Yes, producer and target man. Oh, honey, we used to have we stayed out. It was a small crew. We stayed out on what they call a finca, which is a ranch right near the Andre Mountains. And he used to have this production system. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. Oh, by the way, every room at the nightstand had a 45 in it. And the kid used to come around, he used to yell, "Banditos, banditos, banditos," and we'd go running down the halls in our underwear with our 45s, and we'd almost be shooting each other. I said, this is insanity. This is insanity, you know.
And that would have been a good movie.
Okay, but usually the behind-the-scenes stuff is, I mean, I built the Western town out there, and the trouble was, I went cheap on the art director or something. He built it out of scale. So when you walked up to the saloon, you were eye length with the balcony. You know, the thing was, so I had to shoot the whole thing with actors on their knees and only do 3/4 shots of it, you know. It was funny when they it was funny.
And they let you work again after this.
I mean, but those were really, you know, those are the days that you reached, that you hurt, that you, you know, to get a good product. We even gave the kid, we ran out of blanks. So what do you do when you ran out of blanks? You give them live ammo, you know, and crazy stuff.
Yes, I can think of a certain person who tried that recently. Didn't
look so good.
But, no, it's usually, you know, what Mike and I say is when it hurts a lot is when it's usually going to be good. I remember on Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, what did you do with Cuckoo's Nest?
I was the head of production.
Yes.
And, I mean, it was a long shot. It was independently backed because we couldn't get any studio at that time to back it. Because
really?
They all felt that it was making fun of mental illness or something. And so we're up in Oregon and cranking away there, and we're into about the 5th week of shooting. And I get a call that Billy Redfield's in the hospital. And Billy Redfield, if you remember, played the part of Harding. And if you remember, you're always seeing everybody on the ward, you know, in the Cougar's Nest. I go on down and say, what's wrong with him? He says, advanced leukemia. I said, what? And I said, how'd he get by the physicals? He said, he lied. Oh, you know, I saw my insurance blowing out the window, you know, there. And, but I don't know, I didn't know anything about leukemia, but evidently if you get a transfusion, it brings you back like a vampire almost to life. But it works less and less and less and less. But he did it. He got through the rest of that film, you know.
How about the romancing movies? Did you have a part in some of those?
Yeah, well, I produced them with Mike.
Yeah.
And, we had We had some fun on those, all right. We first of all, my director, Bob Zemeckis, on that wanted, you know, I said to him, I said, Bob, look, our only problem is it's rainy season down in Mexico. I said, a little bit of mist in front of the camera will look so nice. Well, he didn't understand what the hell a rainy season was. Oh. And we get out there, man, and, you know, we've had companies and stuff making roads for us into the jungles and everything like that. And we got, we're shooting, though. We got to go. And they're down below, I remember, and a mudslide happens.
Like in the movie where they slide.
Yeah, like in the movie. But this was a real mudslide that took out two cameras.
Oh.
And almost took out my crew, my principals. And I went down. It was, I'd never driven a DA Cat.
I don't even know what that is. Oh, a Caterpillar, I do know.
DA Caterpillar in my life, right? But I'm going down there, and I'm chugging away with this thing going down. And Mike and Kathleen and who else was jump on it, and we chug our way on up. I mean, we've had, Mike and I have had a lot of action behind the camera.
Were you ever very hurt?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did a picture for United Artists in Alabama called King Cobra. And it was a, you know, during that horror genre of pictures, and we had real cobras. We had real cobras, and we had big rattlesnakes.
Real bullets, real cobras, we got to talk.
Oh, no, this was, we used to have this guy, Faust. I'll never forget his name. Sounds like Faust, he doesn't, as a doctor here. He was the Serpentarium guy, who, matter of fact, is the only guy in the world whose blood is shipped around as an antidote to the King Cobra bite.
He's been bitten so much.
But these guys are scary. King cobras have 2-foot hood spreads and can stand up and look you right in the eye. And my director decided to be more realistic to go without the camera shields. And that thing made a swing over in my direction, and I flew, and I hit a, and I damaged my back, and they had to fly me out, and they had to, you know, it was a mess, you know.
Please.
And that's where my back and the hip problems started, sweetheart.
Sue the cobra.
Sue the cobra.
What was your favorite, if you have one, movie that you produced? Or what are you most proud of, however you'd like to think of it?
Well, I'm proud of the romance series for, you know, the amount of physical effort that went into it and what came out of it. You know, Cuckoo's always was a man. We'd sit up on the second. There used to be like 3 floors. We shot in a real hospital, right? And the first floor was the working set, and it had the whole thing in it. Second floor was editing rooms and, you know, a screening room and stuff. And the third floor was the actual maximum security of the hospital. So we'd be sitting in the dailies sometimes, and you'd hear this blood-curdling scream come through the floors. And we'd all kind of suddenly realize where we are and what we're doing, you know. And we'd be looking at the dailies, and we'd be thinking to ourselves, be looking at each other, Jesus, that's good. But that can't be as good as I think it is, you know. And what happened, it seemed like about the sixth week of shooting, we start getting these offers in from MGM, you know, distributors, major distributors. And evidently what they were doing, where they had a spy at the lab that was looking at the stuff, because we were processing in L.A. coming off, and all of a sudden we were hotter than a $2 pistol, you know.
It's a great movie. It's stood the test of time.
Well, and it's, you know, there was a lot of pain for everybody on that movie, as you know. Will Sampson's, who died, the Indian. Boy, I couldn't light a match in his dressing room.
What was it like working with Jack Nicholson?
Jack's a pro. What I love about Jack is that he gives you the illusion of not being there and together, but there isn't any. You got to remember, that guy was a producer for Corman. And if you produced for Roger Corman, man, you knew your shit. And he'd come in sometimes to the production office, and I had the production board up there, which amateurs can't read because it's it's a call code. He'd come in and he'd say, look, I got to get off for the Trailblazers game. He was a big Trailblazer fan on Friday. I said, Jack, I can't do it, man. He says, and he started pulling strips off and changing them around. He said, yes, he can. And he was right.
When I was singing for the Lakers, and I'd go down on the court to sing the anthem. They wouldn't let me play, you know, so I had to sing the anthem. And there he was, always sitting right there in a trench coat most of the time, scared me to death.
No, he's an incredible talent. I mean, and he does, you know, as I say, he gives you the illusion that he's just playing. But I remember every weekend he'd be studying, he'd be really working hard, and, you know, because it was a very tough movie. It was a very tough movie because it was so mentally and emotionally intense. And also for the actors, because you got 80% working one set, which is the award, you know, and you're at different levels all the time. And it's, you know, it's delicate work together,
right? We love the stories, don't we, Joey Pals? We're listening to the wonderful conversation coming from the heartbeats of Joel Douglas. If you're near your phones, I've got presents for you.